It's time for another catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. A couple of topics to get through today. We've got Ross, Shamin and Sophie with us. Shamin, a couple of topics, but a couple of big topics today.
Yeah. Hi, Alan. Ross will be talking about self-driving vehicles as they're due to be introduced in London later this year. So he's going to go through an event that we've spoken at. And then Sophie is going to talk about a drop-in event we held in Parliament about accessible voting.
Thanks very much for joining us, Sophie. So a parliamentary event, this time looking at accessible voting, and a hastily arranged event as well.
It certainly was. We only gave MPs a couple of days' notice for this, but it was very much focused on our opportunity, our window of opportunity to influence the Representation of the People Bill, because it's what's going to lower the voting age across the UK down to 16. That's part of the government's pledge that it wants to bring in. But what we've seen here is an opportunity to help make voting accessible for blind and partially sighted people, which RNIB has been calling for many years.
It seems like such a long time, Sophie, doesn't it? And we've had lots of different things that have been trialled and lots of different things that have been put in place to help facilitate this. Still a bit of a mixed bag, though, when it comes to actually casting your vote. I'm sure many people who have perhaps voted in the Welsh and Scottish and some of the English council elections will have found that this year.
Absolutely. So what we want to do is make sure that everyone knows what to expect and that every polling station should have both audio and tactile equipment, a device that will bring together both audio and tactile information so that people really can vote independently and in secret. This is something that the MP for Carlisle, that's Julie Minns, she's tabled an amendment to this bill that's currently going to go through Parliament, hopefully in the next few weeks. And that has already got backing from about 35 different MPs. So this event was really just a quick event to try and get MPs to know about this, to invite them to come along and cast their vote in a big pink RNIB ballot box using one of these devices. So it was really fantastic having some MPs join us. They came into the room, talked through the devices that exist, shown how they work, and we explained the problems with not having those devices that, you know, for instance, if you have a tactile device, you know where the boxes are, but, you know, it's fundamentally a visual exercise at the moment, voting. So without that audio equipment as well, you don't know which box relates to which candidate. So basically, there are devices out there that could work, and we want to make sure that every polling station has those.
What was the feedback like from the MPs?
They just love the creativity of it. They said, you know, RNIB can be so relied upon to do these kinds of great interactive events. We had Lisa Smart there, who is the Shadow Cabinet Office Minister for the Lib Dems related to voting. She spent quite a long time finding out about the device, asking questions, understanding what difference it would make if this amendment was to be voted for by enough MPs. And we had Marsha Day-Cordova there, for instance. She is chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for Eye Health and Visual Impairment. We also had Lee Pitcher MP. He's from Doncaster East and the Isle of Axholme. He's been a great ally for RNIB as well. So a nice bunch of different MPs came along, and a few of them who couldn't turn up, they sent along some of their staff.
What's the next step? Well, you're hoping that something may start to move before there's a parliamentary break for the summer, but what's the next steps for RNIB then?
Yeah, so this parliamentary bill, it's been in the Commons. That means it gets scrutinised for a few weeks in the Commons. And the next step is called the report stage. And that's where this amendment that's got names against it, that if that amendment was to be selected for a vote, that's the point at which we'd ask all MPs to back this amendment. And once a bill has then gone through that stage in the Commons, there's a further vote on the whole bill, then it goes into the House of Lords. So there's some time for this to go. And the schedule is very much in the government's hands. So at the moment, we don't quite know when it's going to come up for this vote. And we also don't quite know when it will go to the House of Lords. But it can be safely said, RNIB will be on the case, and we'll make sure that we're talking to as many MPs and members of the House of Lords as possible, because this is a topic that we care a great deal about.
Thanks very much, Sophie. We'll, of course, keep up to date on that. Moving on to autonomous vehicles now, Ross. More on those driverless taxis. We're looking for some feedback from listeners as well, but also an event that RNIB is involved in.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Autonomous vehicles, self-driving taxis, however people might have heard them referred as, are going to be introduced on the streets of London later this summer into the autumn as part of public pilots. So over the last sort of many months, we've been doing a lot of work in this area, because clearly, while there is some sort of interest and excitement amongst blind and partially sighted people about the potential that self-driving vehicles could have, there's also quite a lot of anxiety and scepticism as well out there. So we're currently running a survey, but we've also taken part this month in a panel event that was hosted by the all-party parliamentary group for self-driving vehicles. It was all about the deployment of self-driving taxis on our streets later this year, so we were able to bring our expertise around how blind and partially sighted people get around, the current challenges with making journeys, you know, across different modes of transport, but also current policy information and findings that we've been running as part of this survey. So we were really able to sort of represent those concerns, but also some of the hopes of blind and partially sighted people as well as part of that event, which also included MPs, people from the industry as well.
Just getting back to the survey then, Ross, we're looking for feedback from people. So is it specifically around taxis, or is it autonomous vehicles in general? You're looking for the positives and the negatives. Will that survey help to give any kind of feedback to the industry?
In this specific case, we're just focusing on self-driving taxi services. So that might be a vehicle that you order, for example, through a mobile phone app that takes you from A to B along a specific route. And in the survey, we sort of ask about various things, really general attitudes and hopes and concerns, but also drilling out down into some of the details, like the impact on people as pedestrians and the impact on people using these vehicles as passengers, and just what generally people are concerned about or considered to be the most important aspects, really, of those different considerations. You know, the findings from this survey that we're running, it's sort of really helpful for our policy work and research, and that goes directly into whenever we speak with industry, whenever we speak with MPs, whenever we speak with other relevant stakeholders. The findings that we get from these kind of surveys and the quotes that people allow us to use when they fill out these forms are really, really sort of powerful when we can get in touch with those stakeholders and make the case on these topics.
I think I'm quite excited about it, but apprehensive at the same time. I think we must have an accessible app, which I've heard in the States, you know, they can be pretty accessible anyway. Finding the vehicle when it pulls up on maybe a busy street, how do you kind of get to that? And I think some of the driverless taxis, well, you have a certain amount of time to get in the vehicle. So, and I mean, that's one positive point as well. If I've got the guide dog with me, I'm not going to expect to get a refusal. So I can see some positives and some negatives in there.
A balance is what we're finding from people. Like you said, people are excited about, yeah, guide dog refusals not being a thing, and, you know, the possibility for increased options of transport and increased independence. But on the other hand, you know, issues around finding the vehicle and getting into it, depending on, for example, where it were to park on a busy street. And then the other end, we find that, you know, human taxi drivers, I think there was some research carried out recently that found that human taxi drivers and bus drivers carry out, I think it's over 60 additional duties sort of on top of what they actually do just driving their vehicles. And a lot of those are things like maybe providing some sighted guiding, you know, those last few steps to where you need to get into a specific building at the other end of the journey and stuff like that.
Yeah, please do get involved in that survey. Shameen, you've got the details there for that. And indeed, if people want to get in touch with the campaigns team or follow what you guys are up to, how do they do it?
So if people want to complete the survey Ross was talking about, you can find it online. You just type into your browser rnob.in/sdv-survey. And as usual, if people want to keep in touch with us along the way, they can email us at campaigns@rnob.org.uk, or if you'd rather use the phone, you can call our helpline on 0303 123 9999. You can also follow us on Blue Sky. Our handle is at rnibcampaigns.bsky.social, and you can also read all of our latest news stories on the RNIB website, which is at rnib.org.uk/news, and you can filter the news by campaigning as a topic, and that way you'll see all of our activity.
Thanks so much, guys. We'll catch up with you again next month. For the moment, though, to Ross, to Shameen, and to Sophie, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.